So now we have explained the first step in this meditation that we are going to learn. Relax body and mind and let the breath naturally come in and go out without trying to control it. This is, so to say, the base for this meditation, and it is also finally the accomplishment of this meditation. So the base and the accomplishment is one process. This process is called the pure observation, anupassana. Now, if you want to practice this meditation, it is by practicing the anupassana, the pure observation, that you will notice the defilements. Unless you practice pure observation, you will not be able to notice the defilements, because you are identifying with these defilements. It is only when you practice pure observation that you will be very clear about the defilements. That is why the commentary on the Satipatthana Sutta, which I have mentioned, is the most important scripture on meditation in the Agama tradition. It is said that this pure observation, mindful observation of the breath, is understanding the truth of suffering. Because we want to control the breath, we want to control the mind, the breath is a special object. Even so, it strictly speaking belongs to the body. It is composed of the four elements and the what is derived by the four elements. The real breath is nothing but the wind together with earth, water, fire, and so on. Please make sure you understand that. But you are not observing this real breath in terms of earth, fire, and so on. You are observing in this samatha appeasement meditation the concept of the breath, the mere coming and going of the breath, mere awareness of it and mere understanding of this whole process from the beginning to the end, at the touching place where you experience it. This is the essence of this meditation. So you are aware of the in-breath and an out-breath, first in the whole of the body, relaxing yourself with it and trying to, when you practice with the whole body as the object, it will become easier. You relax yourself and you merely observe it. Then, if you want to get one-pointedness of the mind, it is very difficult to get one-pointedness of mind with this whole body being the object, because mind is spread. So it will get distracted by other sensations in the body and outside. So in order to learn the art of focusing of the mind, which is only possible with relaxation, the difference between the meditator and non-meditator is that the meditator, he knows how to focus his mind and remain relaxed. The non-meditators are unable to do it. It is, in a way, connected with the art of meditation. Long here in my lay days, I have experience of working in the library. I remember seeing people who become mad when they read book and someone is talking around. They get fits of anger. They are almost willing to kill the person who, because they have to prepare for the exams or whatsoever. So this is the nature of the mind, when it of the untrained mind. When it focuses, it will become disturbed by other things. But the meditator, if he has experience in meditation, he will learn this very important art, which is in a way the base for our wisdom, of focusing the mind without getting disturbed by other objects. This is the secret of this art, is called the pure observation or mindful observation with awareness. This is this art is also the secret of in a way of the comfortable living. We live with many frustrations and depressions and turbulences due to our inability to become familiar with this art of focusing the mind and not become distracted by other objects. When you practice mindfulness, and mindfulness is defined in the Abhidhamma by as apilapana. Apilapana means not letting the object of our observation of our mind float. Abhidhamma compares it, the non-mindful mind, to the pumpkin, dry pumpkin on the stream. Wherever the stream goes, the pumpkin will follow. The apilapana means not floating. When we observe one thing, not floating away to other things. This is a secret of the meditation in general. Whatever method of meditation we learn, whether vipassana or chan or mahamudra or whatever method of meditation we learn, the secret of meditation is right here. Our ability to focus on the desired object, the object which we regard highly. The wise man regards highly objects which bring him peace and wisdom. The Abhidharma Kosha defines the mindfulness as samstute vastuni asampramosha. If anyone has learned Sanskrit, it means the not to forget the object which we regard highly. The object which the meditator regards highly are the object is the object of his meditation. And we should learn this also in daily life, to make our object the objects of meditation. This is the secret of the fulfilled living. So the job of the meditator when he meditates on breath is not to forget the breath, long or short, not to forget the, to make it more precise, the present experience of the long or short in-breath and the out-breath, and not let the mind float on this object. To the commentary to the Abhidharma Kosha, Yashomitra explains it, apilapana is abhilapana, to articulate the object of meditation clearly to the mind. When the object of meditation is clearly articulated to the mind, the meditator is practicing mindfulness and awareness. When the object of meditation is not clearly articulated to the mind, the mind is like a dry pumpkin on the stream. Please try to see this very clearly in your daily life, how you can stay peaceful when your mind does not float away from the object of your observation, and how you become frustrated when the mind floats away from the object of your observation. So when the mind does not float away from when you meditate on breath, from the long and short in-breath and out-breath and the present experience of it, you are practicing the mindfulness of the breath. When the mind is not stable on that object and floats away from it, follows different sensations in the body and outside, then you will not be successful in appeasing your mind. Only the appeased mind can start seeing things as they really are. And the secret of it is mindfulness. Mindfulness does not mean that you are forgetful of the other objects except the object that you are taking as the object of your pure observation. You will become even more aware of them. But you cannot pay attention to two objects at the same time. Please make sure that you understand it very clearly. It is the nature of our mind that it can only pay attention to one object at one time. It can be aware of many objects at the same time, but it can pay attention only to one object at one time. So now, because you are, to give an example, you are interested in the in my speech, in what this monk here in front of you is saying, but you at the same time hear some geese overflowing or some noises of the cars outside, but these noises of the cars and geese overflowing us will not influence your attention as long as it is focused on the speech of this monk, right or not. You are now following the speech of the monk, and at the same time, if you have open eyes, you are seeing this room around, you are feeling different sensations in the body, but these will not distract you as long as your mind is focused on my speech. Is it right or not? Now try to be focused on my speech and at the same time to be focused on the sensations in your body or on the sounds outside. What situation will arise? The mind will become disturbed, right? Disturbance of the mind. This is what we are experiencing in daily lives when we don't practice the mindfulness and awareness. Only when the mindfulness and awareness becomes our nature, that we will be able to see this very clearly. When the mind is united with the object of its observation and not distracted by other objects, it is a peaceful mind. It is also a wise mind. It knows very clearly how the other objects come and go and are reflected in the mind like a mirror. But it will not get disturbed by these objects. Please try to see this very clearly. Why it will not get disturbed by this object? Precisely because it is not like a pumpkin in a stream. If the stream comes from goes to the left, it will flow to the left. If to the right, it will flow to the right. The right, if from the downwards, it will go upwards. If from if it sucks him in, it will go in. This is the condition of the unappeased mind. According to Buddhism, this unappeased mind has no ability for insight. It cannot understand the conditionings of body, feeling, and mind, and the mental object as they really are. Being deluded about them, it experiences all kinds of frustrations. And these frustrations are connected with nothing but our defilements, our greed, our repulsion, hate, and our ignorance about the nature of our perception. So the whole of appeasement and the wisdom starts with the experience of the present object. Without letting the mind float away from that experience. Experiencing it, in other words, with mindfulness and awareness. Now, the breath, which is the object belonging to our body, yet inseparable from the mind, because if there is no mind, we are not breathing. So, according to Buddhism, this in-breath and out-breath is the mind-created corporeality. How do we know that it is so? Simply because when we have no mind, we cannot breathe. Is it right or not? Breath is a proof of the presence of the mind and the body together. Whoever has the mind and the body together, he is breathing in and breathing out. Unless he has lost consciousness, or unless he has attained some very deep states of samadhi. So whether we like it or not, the breath is always with us. So it is ideal object of meditation. It will not leave us. And it is always, whether we are aware of it or not, it is always reflecting the condition of our body and the mind. When we run, our experience of breath will be different. When we are resting, our experience of the breath will be different. When we are in turmoil, emotional turmoil, our experience of the breath will be different. When we are in a stable, experiencing stable emotions, our breath will be different. When our mind is running like a wild horse, the experience of the breath will be different. When mind is focused, the experience of the breath will be different. So it means, whether we are aware of it or not, the breath is directly reflecting the condition of our body and the mind. And according to Buddhism, the body and the mind, the corporeality and the mentality, is the all of our experience. Whether we like it or not, please try to see by yourself, it is so. We cannot change it. We can only understand it. When we understand it, the nature of our experience will change. Because we don't understand it, we are experiencing all these kinds of depressions and frustrations and uneasiness with ourselves and with others. So, in order to be at ease, one has to learn to be at ease with one's body, with one's breath, and with one's mind. If one is able to attain it, so as the Maharahulavada Sutta of the middle collection of Buddha's discourses says, Buddha explains to his son Rahula that one who meditates on breath with concentration, mindfulness, and right effort, he will be the one who will experience even his last breath with mindfulness and awareness. This is what is to learn. And this is what is to learn how. Now I will explain the second step. Having relaxed by paying attention to the whole body, letting the breath naturally come in and out of the body, and making the body, the whole of the body, the object of observation, relaxing oneself, wishing oneself happiness with the in-breath and happiness to all beings with the out-breath. After feeling at ease in this way, one then brings attention to the nostrils. Those who have a pointed nose, they may feel most clearly the experience of in-breath and out-breath at the top of the nose. Those who have more flat nose, they may feel it most clearly at the upper lip. That is a place where you should get used to experience each and every in-breath and out-breath. Even so, the in-breath and out-breath, being the wind, of the nature of the wind, is always on the move. Your mind should not be on the move. Your mind should not move. It should just be aware of the whole process of in-breath and out-breath at the place where you are experiencing it. So remember, it is very important, the nature of the mind is the wind. The nature of the wind is always to be moving. But you are learning to fix your mind on this moving object and not let it move. Be aware of the fact that you are breathing in and breathing out, always in the same place, whether it be on the top of your nose or on the upper lip. Don't make the area of your attention too big. If you make it too big, your attention is bound to get scattered. Don't make it too tight by forcing yourself to observe only one small point, because then your mind will become tight also. If your attention is tight, your mind will become tight. If your attention is spread, your mind will become spread. Those who are learning, some of us are learning Yogacara Bhumishastra, the whole of wisdom, of appeasement and of insight is explained in Yogacara Bhumishastra on the principle of wise attention. So, if you pay attention to the breath wisely, you will become wise. And if you become wise, you will be able to keep your peace even in outer turmoil. This is the nature of the wise man. How can he do it? By this art of shama, appeasement and insight. So the next step after paying attention to the whole of the body, you try slowly, step by step, not forcing yourself, but developing more mindfulness and more awareness. Try to become aware of the fact that you cannot experience the breath without touching the breath. You can only experience the breath because you touch it. And the most obvious place of the touch is round about the nostrils, because from the nostrils the most important bulk of breath comes inside the body and outside the body, right? So, having paid attention to the whole of the body, then you bring your attention to the nostrils. And not by force, as far as possible, but by mindfulness, keep your attention there. Not letting the mind wobble on the object, but making the mind stable on the object. The beginners in this meditation, they will find it difficult. So the Buddha has devised the method to stay with the object. This method of staying with the object is known as counting. So in China, this meditation is also known, even so the counting is just first step, is known as counting breath meditation. The counting breath is meant for staying with the object. Unless you stay with the object, you cannot develop mindfulness. Unless you have mindfulness, you will not be able to develop concentration. And unless you have concentration, you will have no insight into the real nature of your experience. So the condition for mindfulness is stable perception. And stable perception can only be developed on one object. If you all the time change your object, you will not be able to develop stable perception. And without stable perception, ability for stable perception, the mind will never become stable. The stable perception is also the nature of the stable feeling. The stable feeling can only appear when one has stable perceptions. Make sure you understand it. And the stable feeling precisely can be developed on the pure observation of the breath. Because you do not control the breath, you just stay with it, and purely observe it without deciding how it should be, your mind will get appeased. When the mind becomes appeased, the experience of the body, of the breath, of the mind will become very peaceful, very subtle. When the mind is not appeased, the experience of the breath, the experience of the body, and the experience of the mind will be very gross. Only the subtle mind can differentiate the subtle objects. The gross mind cannot differentiate the subtle objects. It has no ability to do so. Please make sure that you understand it clearly. And this meditation is nothing else of appeasement, of by not letting the mind float on your meditation object, of making effort here to experience the subtle breath together with subtle mind and subtle feelings. So the more subtle becomes the breath, the more subtle becomes the mind which observes it. But the secret of this meditation is that when the breath becomes more subtle due to more mindfulness and awareness and more relaxation, you should not lose yourself in this subtle feeling of body, breath and mind, but you should make more effort to investigate the breath with more subtle mind. Only then you will be able to make progress in this meditation and learn the art of samadhi, which is the, so to say, the base for Buddhist wisdom. The samadhi means, yesterday I was explaining in the Bodhi Shihui, means it is nothing mystical, it means just literally the correct and gathered application of the mind to the object. Correct application means not letting the mind float away from the object of the observation. And gathered mind means the mind in which the one-pointedness has leadership. When the one-pointedness has leadership, when the concentration has leadership, mind becomes appeased. and the mind becomes fulfilled. And the experience of body and of the mind will be a fulfilled experience. Stable happiness. Because stable happiness is based on the subtle feeling, subtle object and subtle mind. If the object is gross, mind is gross, feeling is gross, the mind will not be able to stay long in the state of happiness. Learning the appeasement is learning subtle happiness. When one has experience of this subtle happiness, one will detach from gross happiness. According to Buddhism, our scattered mind is based on clinging to the gross happiness. This clinging is definition of all beings. The beings according to Buddhism are those who are attached. Attached to what? Attached to pleasure. The more subtle the pleasure, the more subtle the mind. But because we do not practice meditation, we do not see it very clearly. When we practice meditation, get used to meditation, we will see it more and more clearly. Only the subtle happiness is lasting happiness. The gross happiness is not lasting happiness. It will disappear very quickly. And it will, because we cling to it, it will be source of our frustrations, fears, depressions, worries. It is only the subtle happiness which has a lasting nature. This is what one learns by meditation on the breath, which will allow us to make the breath subtle, the mind observing the breath subtle, and the feeling of reception of the breath and of the body subtle. So this is what you want to achieve in this first step of meditation, that is appeasement. When you have got this appeased mind on the breath, then you will be able to learn the insight meditation, which is then will allow us to get rid of the defilements, not only temporarily, but completely, altogether. Because it is the purification of the mind which is the ultimate source of peace, can only come through wisdom. But the wisdom will never be clear unless we have learned this art of appeasement, of experiencing the subtle happiness. So, the condition of experiencing the subtle happiness is, as I have mentioned, to stay with the meditation object. Meditation object of appeasement is the mental concept. Mental concept of what you are, even if you are meditating on the breath, is a mental concept of the breath, of the in-breath and out-breath. Even so, the real breath is always changing, its nature is a change, this mental concept of the in-breath and out-breath does not change. That is why the mind can become appeased. It is just in-breath and out-breath. And what you do is just only observe it, not deciding how it should be. So the condition for that is you stay with the meditation on Jhana. If you cannot stay, first try, or maybe if you have paid attention to the whole body relaxed, you will be able to stay with the object without much difficulty. If not, if the mind goes away from the object and indulges in all kinds of fancies, then you will have to do the counting. The counting means you remind yourself of the breath by counting it, not allowing the mind to go anywhere else. When counting is like a speech, the speech is what brings the mind to the object. When you speak about something, the mind is at that object. So when you count the breath, you are, so to say, reminding yourself what you're doing. You are observing the breath. So in order to count effectively, you have to experience the breath. Otherwise, if you're just counting and not experience the breath, the counting is useless. That is why it is so important to relax. Having relaxed, only then you pay attention to the nostrils and try to see that how you experience the in-breath and out-breath. Only then you start counting if the mind goes away from this experience of in-breath and out-breath. And how you can count? You count slowly. Don't rush. And you count aware and mindful of each and every breath you count. And the most simple way of counting is just in-breath, in, out-breath, in-breath one, out-breath one, in-breath two, out-breath two, in-breath three, out-breath three. That's how you count, being aware and mindful of the breath. You don't count less than 5 breaths and you don't count more than 10 breaths. If you count less than 5 breaths, your mind will get tight. If you count more than 10 breaths, your mind will become scattered by counting and you will lose the clear impression of the in-breath and out-breath. So any digit you feel comfortable with, like 7 or 8, 8 is good because it will remind you the Eightfold Noble Path. But you can do to 10, whatever you feel most comfortable to keep the mind attached to the object, that is a way for you. Now, when you are able to count the breath a long time without losing it, with experiencing it clearly, then you can discard the counting and just be aware of the whole experience of the in-breath and out-breath from the beginning to the end at one place. You don't follow the breath outside the body, you don't follow the breath inside the body, that you are only concerned with the place where you experience the breath. This is explained by the simile of the saw. The carpenter, when he uses the saw to cut the wood, he does not follow the saw like this, but he pays attention only to the place where the teeth of the saw are touching the wood, right? Only in this way he will be able to cut the log or the wood he wants to cut effectively. He will be able to accomplish his effort, which for carpenter is cutting the wood, for the meditator is to get rid of the defilement, experience the clarity and the relaxation, and enter the samadhi. About this art of entering the samadhi, we will talk more in the afternoon, but now, after taking the short break, we will experience by ourselves. However little experience by ourselves, which is clear and which we can digest, is much better than loads of theories which we have not experienced. So rather than taking care of the cows which do not belong to us, take care of the cows which belong to you. That is your own breath, your own body, your own mind, and educate it in such a way that it brings you peace and fulfillment. That is what is this meditation of breath about. So after taking a short break, say 10 minutes, we give it an hour of meditation, and then will be time for lunch, right? So next in our program is a short break. You can make a short walking meditation, then make sure within 10 minutes we are all back and make our first meditation session. I hope I have experienced the method clearly enough, and we will be able to talk about it more, and there will be also some individual interviews for those who are still not clear about the method. So I hope by today, by the time we leave, all of us will get clarity about the method, how to use it, and tomorrow we will do less talking and more meditation. Is it right? Is it what you want? Now 10 minutes break. Please be mindful and aware while walking. I will explain in the afternoon maybe a little more about walking meditation, and 10 minutes later we will start the first meditation session, 1 hour. Okay.